So we did some drilling here and we had some very intriguing results. We're getting multiple drill hits in the thousands of grams per ton silver, with 1 gram to 2 grams per ton gold. And this is a very high grade coherent zone.
The Financial Survival Network. Now more than ever. The Financial Survival Network.
And welcome. You are watching and listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Well, you know, in this day, silver is so volatile. You never know from one day to the next what's going to happen with it, and especially when you compare it to gold. But that's always been the case. And what it means for you as an investor is that the junior sector, there's amazing upside potential, but you got to have a strong tolerance for risk. However, when you know the company that you're investing in is sitting on a huge number of ounces and that number keeps going up, there's a de-risking effect that takes place, which is exactly the case with our sponsor, Silver One Resources. And we wanted to give you an update from CEO Greg Crowe. Companies had a steady, fast, and furious pace of news releases. So we figured we better get together with Greg, get the latest update. Greg, and welcome back. So what do you think of the current silver market? What's your perception of where the market is right now?
Well, Kerry, always an interesting question. Silver markets, as you said, up and down, sideways. However, what's intriguing is this is more of a typical year for silver. Last year was an extraordinary summer for silver, but there was a lot of fear out there regarding the pandemic, regarding excessive stimulus dollars being pumped into the economies, not only in the U.S., but around the world. Uncertainty, is the market going to crash? Is the market not going to crash? Interesting enough, as we move into this summer, it goes back to a more typical cyclical, shall we say, commodity cycle, in that during the summer months, commodity prices, particularly gold and silver, usually come off and then they start heading up. Yeah, around mid-August, they usually start heading up into September. And then you have a big run-up and then a bit of a downturn, sometimes in December. And then you've got a bit of a run-up again in January through to April, and then a bit of a downturn in the summer. That's classic, okay? And we're seeing that right now. But that is also coupled with ongoing uncertainties. Right now, we're seeing the Dow Jones coming off big time. I mean, what, 900 points today? And we're seeing things happening there with Bitcoin. We're seeing that down 50% from its high a few weeks ago. And volatility is essentially what's happening today, and we're seeing it in the silver and gold prices as well. However, what's going on for the future, I think, is good for gold and silver. As I said, excessive stimulus dollars, inflation potentially rearing its ugly head as we come out of this pandemic fear-induced climate, and people are going to be heading back to work, and they're going to all be demanding things to buy. They're all going to be demanding increased wages. It's called inflation, and that's usually good for the precious metal cycle. And also in that economy upturn, you have to remember that silver has an advantage over gold in that it is also an industrial mineral, and it's used extensively in a lot of the growth areas today, the electronics industry and the solar industry, and that bodes well for silver. And often in the commodities boom markets, particularly a precious metals boom market, silver tends to outpace gold in terms of a percentage increase. So I think the future is good for silver.
Yeah, and we've seen silver consumption continue to increase regardless of what's going on in the economy. Granted, pandemic is a little extraordinary, but even in down markets, silver consumption increases, right?
silver consumption increases, China is not going to, even though they're going up and down, they're not going to be, shall we say, going anywhere with, except for moving forward with their economic development. They're one of the largest consumers of silver. They're moving forward with solar. They're now producing electric vehicles that are giving some sort of worry to Mr. Musk with respect to outpricing the Teslas and really increasing the exposure of those Chinese electric vehicle companies to consumers. And when you've got, you know, potentially hundreds of millions of consumers in China alone, you know, that's going to be using a lot of silver. And the other side of the coin is called supply. There's a lot of areas out there that are getting a little bit carried away with respect to looking for increased royalty taxes, controls, and these countries that are very important with respect to silver production are bringing these new government regulations in particular Mexico and potentially Peru, big silver producers, but they're putting new, shall we say, constraints on mining. So supply is, again, just as it has been in the last few years, is going to be in a shortfall with respect to demand, increasing demand.
Not to mention the fact that that we're looking at higher taxes in jurisdictions around the world, but especially those two potentially.
Yep, I agree 100%.
So also one other factor, which is the wild card always with silver, is investment demand. And we saw that recently during the so-called silver squeeze skyrocket. The bullion dealers were literally shut down for a number of days, matching their orders with their supplies and their hedging. And that could potentially happen again, only much worse, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could potentially happen again. I mean, these, shall we say, phases come and go. But the big thing about, shall we say, investor demand, in my mind, is who are the big purchasers of silver? I mean, you know, ETFs go up and down, but Bank of Brazil just bought a whole bunch of silver, you know, and increased gold reserves. Also, we're seeing other places like Russia increasing their gold and their silver reserves, etc. You know, these guys know something. Look at what's happening with oil around the world. You know, prices go up, prices go down, little squeezes, fear of essentially the end of the oil industry. People get a little panicky and they want to put gold and silver into their treasuries to essentially protect against a downturn in some of their big production facilities that are based on the petroleum industry.
Yeah, well, I have my eye on a piece of silver that you just found laying around a site, underexplored site in Nevada, but I think that's going to the museum, so I'll have to forget about that for now.
All right, if you got a couple million bucks, I can get it for you.
Oh, all right. Well, hey, if silver goes up high enough, I might. but seriously, so Candelaria Project, I was there impressed by the scale and the magnitude of it and the fact that it was just sitting there, literally. And you had three goals for Candelaria. Number one was to extend the down dip or high grade, and that worked out pretty well.
Yes, indeed. And just for your investors, just to understand Candelaria, you know, you said you were impressed with the size and the magnitude of it, but the mining history, it started in 1864 and produced on average 1,250 grams per ton of silver. It was one of the richest producers in the state of Nevada. And then it went into big open pit mining, and Kinross essentially did two big, huge open pits, which you saw, and produced all told about 68 million ounces of silver from that project alone. And then big downturn in 1997 with respect to silver prices, well under $5 per ounce, and it kind of went dormant, sold off to Silver Standard, and then we came along and did a deal with Silver Standard to get 100%. So we want to reactivate it, but before we can reactivate it, we want to make sure we understand what is there. And we've been doing a lot of work. We did that big drill program over the last year, year and a half, 15,000 meters of reverse circulation and diamond drilling. And we looked at three goals that we, I think, achieved fairly well. Okay, so you know, a couple of slides just to put it in to perspective. Essentially, here's the outline of the entire property, Candelaria, which is just off the main highway that joins Reno to Las Vegas and Nevada. So excellent infrastructure. We have power and water. Here are the two big leach pads that have about combined about 45 million ounces of silver. We're looking at reprocessing from those heap leach pads. Want to put out an economic study by the end of the year. And here are the two big open pits where all of this material came from, with Kinross being the last big producer in the 1990s. Now, what we did was we looked at down dip high grade. We looked at long strike continuations to the open pit mineralization. And then there was a third objective to the drill program. And we were looking at essentially what is the underlying source of the mineralization? Because interesting enough, we've got all this beautiful silver oxide on surface, but we're finding some interesting copper mineralization sitting on the old dumps outside some of the adits. So we did some drilling here and we had some very intriguing results. And let's talk about those three objectives as the results we had. Okay, well, here are the two big open pits. Those leach pads are just off the map to the north. The mineralization dips from the pit northeastwards, but we're getting multiple drill hits in the thousands of grams per ton silver, with a gram to 2 grams per ton gold. And this is a very high grade coherent zone, which could be accessible by ramping down from the base of the pit for future extraction consideration. Then the second goal that we did was we extended the open pit mineralization westwards for up to 500 meters and eastwards for up to 100 meters. It still remains open to the east and west. What does that mean? Well, we're going to be doing some metallurgical testing on this material, and we're going to be looking at potentially combining this easily accessible open pit material with the heap leach material. The goal would be to increase grades, increase recoveries, and we'll be putting out, as I said, an economic study. We aim to have that out by the end of the year for a production situation on combining the heap material with the open pit material. Then there is the other big question: what's the upside exploration overall at Candelaria? What does this pretty picture tell us? It tells us there's a big, huge magnetic high to the north. So those rocks have a lot of magnetic minerals in them versus the ones to the south. Major structural control and mineralization comes right through the pits and heads off the property. We've got drilling done by Hochschild off to the east, producing gold silver mine. We've got evidence of copper mineralization throughout. So we thought, what's the source of this underlying copper sitting on the old adit dumps here? And we put in a couple of deep drill holes, had some very intriguing results. What we ended up intersecting was what's referred to as porphyry style alteration. And porphyry deposits are big, huge deposits. They can be rich in copper or gold and silver. And this one here, we see altered intrusive porphyry with copper mineralization on surface. We see drill cores with the right style of alteration, and we're getting values at depth up to 6 grams per ton gold. So we're seeing a very interesting underlying alteration system that could suggest there's a big porphyry system or deposit at depth. We need to do more drilling, but that's very encouraging, and that could be the source of all that mineralization at Candelaria. So we had those three big, essentially, objectives, and we did achieve them all. And what do we want to do going forward for the rest of 2021? Well, we're going to be doing another drill program. We're going to be doing the metallurgical testing on that pit extension material, all those little chips that we got out of the drilling that we just completed. And the idea is, can we put together an economic study that says if we mix that material with the heap leach pads, what are the economics going to be? We want to have that out by the end of the year. We want to look for future potential underground extraction of that really high grade mineralization, which would really enhance and extend the potential mine life at Candelaria. And then we want to test this underground porphyry system, because that could really, really enhance the upside of Candelaria itself, and really put a whole new perspective on Candelaria that was never recognized in the past. So that's what we achieved. And we're going to be doing another drill program, and we hopefully will get this economic study out by the end of the year.
Hey, and Greg, refresh my recollection, because I remember looking down into the pits and seeing there was a substantial amount of material that, you know, it was the strangest thing going there. It was kind of like, 1 minute, this was a functioning mine, and then they literally like pulled the plug and it went dormant. But there was a whole bunch of material that had been excavated that's just sitting at the bottom of the pits.
Yeah, there's some good number of ounces of gold, or silver, I should say, a little bit of gold, but ounces of silver just sitting down at the base of the pit. And that would be part of the operation once it gets reactivated. So not only do we have some material at the base of the pit, we were standing up on this side looking down into the pit here, but there's that material down there, but there's all this mineralization, which we've now extended through drilling outwards from particularly the Diablo pit, and plus all of this deeper mineralization that's extremely high grade. I mean, look at some of these values here, 1,700 grams per ton silver, 1,000 grams per ton silver, 1,100 grams per ton silver. And we're getting gold values between a gram and a half, which really adds a big component to any economic study. So lots of potential upside. And as I said, we've got other areas out here that we've done some sampling on. We're waiting some results. There could be some new targets out in through here. And Hochschild was drilling off to the east, and there is a little producing gold silver mine there. And this down deep underlying source of the mineralization could be huge in terms of exploration upside. So essentially, that main highway that joins Reno to Las Vegas is there. You come in 2 miles paved road, there's a big leach pad just behind the hill. This is the big leach pad, which is leach pad number one. That alone has about 30 million ounces of silver. Here's what's left of the old processing site. We've got a power line. There's electrical station right there. It's active. We pay our monthly power bills. We've got water. And here's just the edge of one of the big open pits. So we got two big open pits as well. Yeah, it's a big operation.
Yeah. So if you want to see more information and more pictures, because the pictures really tell the story along with the drill results, of course, go over to silver1.com, take a look. The ticker symbols on the OTCQX, it's SLVRF. On the TSX Venture, it's SVE. And Frankfurt, it's BRK1. And Greg, it sounds like you have a busy rest of the year ahead of you. Got some lost time to make up for, I guess, but we're all trying to do the same thing. It sounds like I'll be having you on again shortly, because there's going to be more news, no doubt.
Yeah, and we didn't really have a downtime during the pandemic. We kept working right through. We took all the precautions required, of course, and we've been drilling away all through 2020 and 2021, and working on our other projects as well. And you're right, we're going to be seeing some more news coming out this year and into next year.
Yeah, the results, Greg, really speak for themselves. The fact that you actually had three goals, and you've attained really more than the three goals, let's face it, because you found things that you didn't even know were going to be there. And really, I'll be interested to speak with you next time, get the next three goals there, and discuss the other projects as well, which are quite promising. So if you've got a question for Greg, why don't you send me an email I'll get him to answer it for you, I promise. It's kl@carrylutz.com. Greg, it's been great catching up with you. As a Silver One investor for a number of years, I'm personally excited about the latest developments. And I think if you take a close look at this company, you will be too.
Thank you, Carrie. Much appreciated.
The Financial Survival Network.